Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Story Studio. Oh yeah, here we go. Check it out now.
Welcome to the Story Studio, a podcast where an independent publishing company explores the world of self-publishing, independent art, and the future of storytelling. My name is Luke Condor with a K, just clearing my throat there. And right now I am alone. In a second, we'll go straight to the interview with a good friend of mine, FC Schultz, and Daniel Wilcox will be there, my regular co-host, but right now he is not here. So normally we do a lot of, you know, we talk about writing series of novels and marketing these books and, you know, like the sort of more advanced kind of details of making stuff and publishing stuff. But we kind of overlook how important it is to do the first novel, actually sit down and write your first novel. So that's what we're going to be detailing today. That's what we're going to be talking about today with a good friend of mine. So I won't keep you for too long. We'll go straight into the interview. I hope you have a good one. Take care. Enjoy yourself. Thank you.
Writing is a tough game, especially in the beginning. There's not only a leap in word count from writing and publishing short stories to writing your first novel, but a leap in confidence, maturity, I'd say a leap in life. They say 80% of Americans say that they want to write a novel but never do, and then some other people do. So today we're talking to doer and writer FC Schultz, born in the land of Lincoln but since relocated to Joplin, Missouri with his wife Sammy and his cat Batman. Not that Batman. FC didn't start writing fiction until his early 20s, where he says, "The stories of Ray Bradbury grabbed hold of me and never let me go." There's very sticky pages on that particular book. well, now he's just written and published his first novel, a coming-of-age fantasy tale called The Rose Weapon, and we're going to have a little chat about writing your first novel, but writing short stories, and yeah, it's sort of a nice little chin wag. So welcome to the show, Mr. FC Schultz.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you, man. So you mentioned Ray Bradbury. He's a bit of a hero of mine. Can you just quickly touch on that and talk about, you know, what he did for you, how he got you into writing in the first place?
Yeah, so I actually didn't discover Ray Bradbury until the summer of 2012. That's when I read Fahrenheit 451 for the first time. And I was like, this is awesome. I want to get more from this guy. And that was actually the same summer that he passed away. And so it was kind of this heartbreak at the same time as discovering all of these awesome works. And then I moved to some of the short stories, Sound of Thunder, The Pedestrian, All Summer in a Day. Just really what he could do with such a small amount of words was just incredible.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And so was there any particular story that sort of had you put the book down, open a Word document and start writing yourself?
Yeah, I mean, stories like The Pedestrian, where it's just so simple, but still so powerful, just about someone walking outside and getting arrested for it. And so just having those small little things, and how can I accomplish those same things?
And then I prefer those sort of shorter, more intimate experiences where it is, say, I don't know, several thousand words focusing on that small, say someone walking to a doctor's office and stuff happening, or do you prefer the sort of bigger, wider stories?
Yeah, I definitely like the smaller stories. One thing I'm trying to work on with my writing is to write my characters with enough nuance and subtlety, and he does that very well, and it helps carry the story, even if it's just one or two characters. And so I really like getting that intimate feel with such a simple story like that. Very personal relationships. So
what's that story?
It's really difficult to do.
Yeah. I was just thinking what that story, Kaleidoscope, is when it's like five astronauts are ejected from their rocket and they're sort of floating through space.
Yeah.
Talking to each other. And that's all it is. It's just one guy talking to the rest of his people. But yeah. It's just so good. It's like really beautiful and kind of tragic, but
it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to keep. Like, I've tried to do something like that where it's similar, so that would be one of those stories, and then it's very much just conversation based, but it's so hard to keep it interesting and bring that emotion to it.
Yeah. So okay, so tell us, when you first started writing, how old were you at this point?
I mean, I didn't really start writing. So I was probably 20 when I started, and I hadn't really written anything before. I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought of a story, a way to change the 7, 8, 9 story, where 7 actually, or 6 feels sorry for 7. It's just completely ridiculous. That's why he's afraid of him. He's afraid he won't have a normal life anymore because everyone's like shunning him now. And then that was it. I didn't do anything for a couple of years after that. I don't even know where that came from. Then after that, I guess it was time to start writing. But yeah, as a kid, I didn't really read that much or watch that much movies, that many movies. I think that there was probably some stories happening on the playground or in the backyard. I remember vividly having a blue Power Ranger, one of those shiny ones. And I was like telling a story or something, and I put it into like one of the pillars of our porch. Like it was going into like cryo sleep or something. And I let go and it was gone. It's still there somewhere at that house, but it just fell down. I thought it was flat, but it just fell down a hole. So there had to be some story element happening there, but I don't really, maybe I gave up when that happened.
Yeah. Dan, just out of curiosity, can you remember your first story you ever wrote?
Actual prose, I do actually, I was in college and it was one of the creative writing module things. Basically, I decided then that I wanted to be a bit of a boundary pusher, but not in like an actual decent way, in a bit of a kind of pedantic, I'm just going to do it for sake of it. So we got given the choice of writing anything that we wanted, and I put forward 3 options, with one of them being erotica, which for a 16-year-old at college, giving it to a 40-year-old woman to read, to tell you whether or not you're a good writer, isn't the best way forward. But I ended up putting that to side, and I wrote a story about a guy who finds himself, it's that kind of classic thing, you're running down an alleyway, find yourself at a chain link fence with nowhere to go, and there's kind of like a vampire-esque chasing after him. And I just remember, I've still got it somewhere, but even reading it, how pedantic and how much of an idiot I sounded, just because I tried so hard to be what would traditionally be what I thought was a good writer.
It's
unnecessary long words for no reason, but they're the kind of stepping stones you go through. You have to have that initial experience, you have to play around with a lot of different stuff before you actually get to know what it is you want to write and where your kind of strength lies.
Were you when you first started writing, Christian, were you sort of, because I remember I wasn't confident in words, like in putting words down on a page, and
even now
to a degree. I mean, like, I'm always worried that I'm using the wrong words, or like I'm gonna look like a fool. They're gonna figure me out. I mean, were you confident in like your writing in general?
I think I had a little bit of an advantage starting so late, kind of getting comfortable with who I am and kind of figuring that out, even though I was still early 20s. But I do remember reading some advice. I wish I could remember who it was. He said he would write, he had a plan to write 100 short stories, and he would just write one, number it, and then go on to the next one. And he would write all 100 of those before he even stopped to listen to what people were saying, because he knew they were going to be bad, but he didn't want that to impact him. He said, I'm going to write 100 stories, and then let's start a conversation after that. So I kind of tried to apply some of that same philosophy. I didn't get anywhere near 100, but kind of just, and similar to what Ray Bradbury says too, is writing what you're passionate about and what the stories that you want to write. And so I knew that I was doing that. And so that helped me kind of push away some of that noise.
And that's the kind of focal point, isn't it? I mean, if you're able to fuel yourself off your own passion, then ultimately it doesn't really matter what the reader says. I mean, obviously in the grand scheme, if you're looking to sell stuff, it does, but it's so much easier moving forward and driving yourself forward if you know that at the heart you're doing something you enjoy.
I think for me, when I'm writing like an episode of The Other Stories, I'm really just trying to surprise myself, to like think, wow, I didn't know I didn't know this twist existed, or like this sort of play on, I didn't know it existed. So I think you have to sort of go into the short stories, especially just of like that sort of just the experiment to see into what you like and like what you want to do. I mean, Chris, do you remember like the first story you wrote and you were like, wow, this, I've got it. I've nailed it. Do you remember what the first one was?
Was it the Rose Weapon?
Yeah. I mean, that's the first one that's really, felt confident to put out there in the full length as it is. Other than that, there was a couple, there's one that I use, that if people sign up on the email list on my website, I send it to them and say, can I send you my favorite story? It's very much about, sibling relationships and being trapped in space and all that fun stuff. So that was kind of my first one that I felt like, okay, this is good enough for, to make a first impression on people. So
it's nice to hit that point to actually feel that comfortable with your story to do that. I mean, how many stories would that have been before you actually hit the point now where you've published this book? What was it about the Rose Weapon that made it for you publishable?
Yeah, so I started it. I actually took a creative writing class at the end of the semester of 2014 in May or so. And part of that was writing the first chapter of a book. And so that was where I wrote the first chapter, and it didn't, and then I didn't do anything with it after that. It kind of sat dormant for about 2 years or so until last year during NaNoWriMo, gearing up for it. I knew I wanted to, take that next step and say, let's go all in and try to get a novel out of this thing. I had a lot of ideas for where I wanted to go. And so, yeah, that was kind of the first one that was, let's take this jump and kind of go from there.
Yeah. Take the deep dive. NaNoWriMo, helps me a lot anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, can you tell us a bit about what made you sign up to NaNoWriMo? Did someone tell you about it? Did you sign it to one of those groups and go to those, what do they call them? Like write-ins or something like that.
Like cabins?
Yeah, something. No. Is that where you meet up in like
that's a camp.
Oh. If you meet up in a cafe and loads of writers and don't talk to each other and write, I guess. So tell us about NaNoWriMo for you.
Yeah, so I had actually heard about it the year before, and I had challenged myself to write 5 short stories during that time, during the NaNoWriMo instead. Didn't happen. I think I wrote 1.5 or so.
Yeah.
And then the next year, I wanted to go ahead and do it the proper way. It's supposed to be novel writing month, so let's go ahead and do this. I signed up, and then I tracked all of my daily word counts on their website and used all of that kind of stuff. I did daily audio updates more for me to make sure to keep myself accountable. That way I would know, I know I'm going to have to do this. So let's make sure we hit the word counts. And so, really it was trying and failing 2 or 3 times. I think even before that, I tried to do some kind of a script or something that who knows what happened to that. So it was kind of like at the point of, okay, we've tried this so many times, let's actually take it seriously this time.
Yeah. And this was so you'd written the first chapter before in that class. Is that right?
Yep. And I ended up, it wasn't the first chap. The first feedback that she gave me, my professor gave me, was don't start a book with a dream. I was like, all right.
Yeah. Now end it with one.
Yeah. The whole thing was a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ultimate ending to Harry Potter.
Yeah. Is that, I don't know how Harry Potter ends. Is that a spoiler alert?
What?
Well, I've seen the film.
Well, if I say no, that's also another spoiler.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I don't need to go from here.
Okay.
I was just going to say, I was going to ask you guys what your philosophy on giving spoilers is. Some people say, like, oh, it's been out 10 years, it's fine, you should have seen it by now. What do you guys think about that?
So in the Horror Hangout podcast, which is a similar podcast where me and Ben watch like classic horror films, like it's so spoilerific and we forget to warn people at the start. So I feel like we may have pissed a few people off. But I try to avoid spoilers, especially like, you know, like Stranger Things and stuff. And I've seen some people post some things and I'm like, you can't, even though they're trying not to say a spoiler, by simply suggesting something about that character, Now people are sort of, they've got like a careful eye on that character and they've got ways for something bad to happen or something.
Yeah, and you know, okay, you might not know it right now, but once you get halfway through, then you're like, oh, now I can piece this together and see what happens.
He dies.
Yeah.
They all die. I think there's a gracing period. I think there's a couple of weeks maybe in which you can kind of say, so for example, I still haven't seen the last episode of the most recent series of Game of Thrones, but people in the office were talking about it last week. And at that point, I was just like, you know what? I haven't seen it yet. Just talk about it. It's fine. But if it was sort of the day after, I'd be a bit more wary.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's different for TV and movies too. I don't know.
I think so. I reckon so, yeah.
So is there any sort of spoilers you're trying to avoid at the minute, Christine?
Well, we mostly Stranger Things 2.
Yeah.
We're done with it now. I stayed up way too late on Monday night finishing it. But before that, I saw something that was like, oh, when you get to this part, tell me if this looks like whatever. And I was like, no, don't say that. Yeah, Why would you say that?
Yeah. Just a quick question. I mean, Stranger Things, did you prefer the second season or the first season?
I prefer the first season. I don't think, looking back through the second season, I was thinking this wouldn't have worked as a standalone thing. Like, this wouldn't have worked for a first season or as its own season. It relies a lot on the first season. So I am still a fan of the first season more.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I was going to try and add Dan back whilst we...
Oh, I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Okay, cool. It's a good job you missed it because we just spoiled the fuck. That's what you think. It's good, man.
The last few weeks. Bear with me a second. I'll get my tongue back in. So the Rose Weapon. How long did it take to write from start to finish, including edits and polish and all that stuff?
I wrote the first draft in 21 days of NaNoWriMo, and then I put it away for about a month or so per Stephen King's advice. And then it didn't come out until 2 weeks ago in the middle of October. So almost a full year going through that. I sent it off while I edited it, and then sent it off to a couple of beta readers, got some of that feedback. Did another edit on it, added characters that weren't even in the first draft. So that was a pretty interesting experience for me. I haven't done any kind of edits like that before.
Yeah.
And then it honestly, one of the things I learned about this whole process is, one, don't say a release date until you are 100% sure you're ready, until you could release it today, basically.
Yeah.
Because I kept saying, okay, it's coming out middle of July. It's coming out at the end of July. Here we go. August 15th, September 1st. Like, I just kept pushing it back because there would be one more edit, and then I need to get the proof back and do that again. And then all of this stuff. That being said, I can look back on it and see a lot of areas where I could trim it down a lot. A lot of dead space where I wasn't doing anything with the book, where I could really trim that time down from first draft to getting it published.
It's sort of a learning process, I think. I mean, how easy or hard was the process? Was it like as difficult as what people out there might think, or did you like breeze through it?
Some advice that was given to me pretty early on before I even thought about writing a novel was, don't try to write the novel that you want to write that you could write when you're 50. Or you might have this massive idea for a time traveling space saga, trilogy, super series, whatever. But you're probably not ready for that yet if you're just getting started. And so I definitely do have that idea for a story, but I knew I wasn't ready for all of those characters. And so I wanted to intentionally tell a story that was a little bit more trimmed down. There's not usually more than two characters on screen at the same time talking to each other. So just learning how to even have dialogue before you add in all these characters, and then you realize, oh, they're not saying anything. They're just sitting there with the rest of the group and trying to figure out how to balance all of that. It's one point of view all the way through. I use the hero's journey structure, so that was already in place for me. And so I really wanted to try to set all that stuff up because I knew it was going to be difficult and this new thing that I'd never done before. So to try to kind of give myself those shortcuts, yeah. If I don't know if that's the best word.
Helping hands, the sort of lubrication.
Yeah, for later down. Yeah, yeah, for later on the line when I knew that those things would be coming through. So, yeah. I enjoyed the editing process and going through it. I thought I like what we mentioned earlier, I really love this story. And so it was pretty easy for me to go in and make those edits and know that I'm making it better. Cause that's ultimately what I want for the book and the story is to be the best that it can. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I kind of feel like when you're writing a novel, like you kind of have like seasons, like you go through the motions. So you can, like, for me anyway, I'll start off really confident and really happy, and I'll get like a midpoint, I'll get a bit tired and I like hate everything. And then I'll like just want to get it done. And then by the end, it's like, it's usually better than what I thought it would be. I mean, how did you find it? Were you sort of steadily just working and happy all the way through, or was there any sort of tough moments when you weren't sure, or how was the day to day?
Definitely going through the line edits was the worst part. So doing the story editing thing and adding some characters in and kind of hammering down some character motivations and stuff, that was great. But then going through every single sentence and every single word and making sure everything is the way it's supposed to be. Because when you're flying through that first draft, you forget commas. There's things you use the wrong version of there. I mean, it's all that kind of stuff, you know, that you don't catch. And so that part, I was like, I'm ready to be done with this now and move on to the next thing. And so, and that was part of the process too. Towards the end is where I was kind of dragging and really wanting to work on other projects, but I knew, okay, I've got this one project that's 85% done. I need to get it across the finish line before I fully commit to something else.
And I think that's the hardest part there, is pushing through that kind of slump there, because that's where a lot of people will stop and switch to a new project or something that is a bit more exciting. But do you feel like you got a lot more out of actually finishing it than you might have from starting a new project?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, learning just all about create space and what that looks like, and working with cover artists and formatting and doing all of those kinds of things were skills that I didn't know before or even think about when I wrote the first draft. But all of those help inform the next project and the next project after that.
Yeah. I know you said you sort of stuck with like the hero's journey, but did you plot or pants the novel?
Definitely plot. I'm an outliner. I definitely try to leave space to let it go wherever it's going to go. There are things that, I mean, like adding a whole nother character afterwards. Since my writing time is kind of limited to the mornings before work, if I don't have that plot and that plan of where I'm going to go, it takes me it's a lot harder to get my 1,000 words in that hour or whatever time frame I have. So definitely plot.
That might be why I've been super slow at writing recently. This book, I haven't plotted. I've just got to, like, I'm writing like I would a short story. So that's why it's taking me so long.
Perhaps.
I need the...
But then maybe it'll add a different dimension to it.
Maybe, yeah. I need the plot's lubrication for the process. So yeah, man. So the book came out 2 weeks ago. People are reading it. I've seen some nice reviews on there and everything. I mean, how does it feel to get that first book out there?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's you know, before you have a book out and you tell people that you're a writer or you're an author, they're like, oh yeah, cool, sure you are. But then you're like, no, really, like, you can search it on Amazon and there it is. And then it's just a whole different ballgame. And I don't know. I mean, that alone has been cool, just to be able to say, you know, yes, you can buy it. It's on Amazon right now. And then let me know what you think after you read it. And I'd love to hear your feedback. And so it's opened up a lot of those doors. And I had a book signing at the local library and got to meet a lot of other authors that were there. So that was pretty cool too, just that experience and being able to meet new people from having this book out.
Yeah, how did the Can you talk a little bit more about the book signing? Because it's not really something that I've ever done. I don't know how you go about setting that up.
Yeah, it actually worked out really well. The library was putting on a Joplin Writers Fair. And so any writers, authors from the area could set up a booth for free and sell their books without any margin being taken off the top there from the library. And cool. The book signing happened 2 weeks after my book came out. So it was perfect timing to be able to set that up. We set up a TV with the book trailer on there, and my buddy got me a huge banner with the cover on it. And so, wow. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. And the,
that's so cool.
Have you seen the book trailer, Dan? I don't know if I sent it to you, but it's,
really, I haven't seen the trailer. No.
I think maybe, when did the book trailer came out? It came out a little while ago, right?
Well, there was like a cover release little teaser thing. Yeah, and then there was the one that came out on the day that the book came out, because at the end it says available now on Amazon and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's really good. It's most book trailers are kind of like, you know, just a picture of the book cover and then some like royalty-free music, and they'll say, oh, no, but this was really good. I mean, who made it? Are you behind the camera? Who made that?
Yeah, so my brother-in-law and sister live in Nashville, and they do wedding videography there. And so he is a pro at that. And he was actually in town for my other sister's graduation. And I was like, while you're here, we have to shoot this book trailer. Like, I don't know when it's going to come out, but it's going to, like, so we finished it in May or June or something. And I've just been sitting on it waiting for it to come out. But he was all for it. And he did some sound engineering on it too. He put it all together, and it was, yeah, just incredible.
But I guess I just wanted to, I've only got a few more questions really. I just wanted to ask, like, first of all, have you got like a book or some sort of resource or something that you recommend to other creators, you know, people out there who want to write a book for the first time and that kind of thing?
Yeah. So a couple of the big ones that a lot of people probably have heard about, On Writing by Stephen King is huge. Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott. And then one of the ones that has been really impactful for me is Zen and the Art of Writing by Ray Bradbury. And because it's more focuses on the passion behind the writing and why you do what you do and why you write stories. And I mean, his passion for stories is just incredible. And so that's really inspiring to me, just reading one of those essays, and then I feel ready to just jump right back in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean about that book. That the way he sort of writes nonfiction is I do kind of try and ape that style a little bit, because it just sounds, it's got such like a zest to it, and it just kind of inspires you to want to actually sort of start writing. It's definitely one of the better nonfiction books. But I've never read Bird by Bird though. Is it good? What's the idea behind that?
Yeah, so one of the big lessons from there is about the first draft, and that it's going to be bad no matter what. And so, and she really talks about that, and just kind of puts when you're going towards that first draft, don't try to make it perfect. It's fine. Just get it out there. And so that's one of the big things from that book that has really kind of stuck with me and influenced the way that I approach writing a new story, whether it's a short story or another novel.
Cool. Also, so is there any, so you've done a novel, I know you mentioned something about a screenplay, but what sort of other mediums are you looking forward to working in?
Yeah. So this month, instead of doing NaNoWriMo, I decided to try Zero Draft 30. So writing a screenplay in 1 month. And so this is my first time ever trying something like that. Don't really know what I'm doing, but it's just going for it, basically, and kind of see what happens from there. And then I do have some ideas for children's books and stuff like that. It just kind of depends on where that goes and where that ends up. When I first started writing short stories, I never thought I would write a novel. I was perfectly content with just writing short stories. And so a novel always seemed like way too far off and way too difficult and too many words to try to do for one story. But then, yeah, after trying NaNoWriMo all those years, finally just I felt like I had a good outline and then just kind of went with it from there.
So zero draft 30. So what do you know? Do you know what software you're using for that kind of thing? Is that where would people find out more about that?
Yeah, so mostly from my email newsletter that I send out just once a month, there'll be an update on that from there and just kind of links to where the idea came from and stuff like that.
Cool. And so do you say what software you're using to write the screenplay with?
Yeah, so I use Scrivener to write The Rose Weapon, and then they have a really great screenplay setting as well that I've found. I mean, I've only been in there a couple days now, but it's very I'm already kind of getting the shortcut keys and that kind of stuff, and so that's been very helpful.
Cool. Okay. Any sort of recent favorite media? So, like, have you read a book that's just sort of really inspired you, or watched a film, or anything that's really got you going?
Yeah, so we read in book club, we read Red Rising by Pierce Brown. Have you read that?
No, but I've seen it pop up a few times on Goodreads and on Instagram. Yeah, is it a fantasy book?
Yeah, sci-fi fantasy. Yes, but there he brings in other elements to it too. So the setting is definitely that, but it feels a lot more of the grounded fantasy, which is what I like too. Yeah. Kind of the at least in the first book. I'm in the second one right now, but
Red Risen.
Yeah.
What's that one called?
Golden Sun.
Golden Sun. I would have gone with Red Rose.
Or
Red. Okay, cool. Sorry, man. So The Rose Weapon's out. You've got Zero Draft 30, which is the screenplay. What else? What's next for Mr. Schultz?
Yeah, so before this month started, I finished the first draft of my second novella. And so I'm putting that away for now while I do Zero Draft 30. And then once this month's over, I'll go back to that and start making edits for that. And hopefully coming out within hopefully the turn of the new year. So.
Cool. And have we got a name for that yet? Is there any details we can get on that?
Yeah, I thought of a name, but it's kind of a spoiler for the book. So I was like, I can't use that.
Because part.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go with Red Rose. Or Red Rose. Okay, cool. So, man, we've got the quick fire round. Are you, I don't know if I told you about this, I don't know if I warned you about it. We've got like 10 quick questions. Feel free to answer in any way you want. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Second to last book that you read.
A Wizard of Earthsea by Ursula Le Guin.
PlayStation or N64?
N64.
What? What's your favorite alcoholic beverage?
Ginger beer. It's non-alcoholic.
You can get alcoholic versions though, I think. Favorite US city?
Springfield, Illinois.
The first film you ever loved?
Probably Mask of Phantasm, Batman.
Oh, I think it's like Phantasm is in that crazy Don Coscarelli horror film. the one person you'd want to meet?
Ray Bradbury.
Biggest hobby outside of writing?
Probably playing hockey, street hockey.
Oh, cool. I was going to say favorite writer, but let's go with favorite creator.
Probably Rhett and Link, YouTubers.
Really? They do the Mythical Morning show, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep. I watched through this, really good. Okay, so you're in a cinema, you're waiting for a film to come on, and bad news, it's that film that you hate. What's it called again?
I tend to just block those out.
Repress them like bad.
They don't even exist. Yeah. I can't. I don't know.
Wow, you're such a positive person.
I try to have a philosophy of to not discourage artists. So I feel like if I slam a movie.
No, it's good. I like it. Okay, so it's a film that you love, a recent film that you love. What's it called again?
Dunkirk.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, cool. And the last question, where can we follow you and your work?
Yeah, my website, fcschultz.com, F-C-S-H-U-L-T-Z, and then that's the same name on all the social medias too. So,
cool. Okay, just to let listeners know, I probably should have mentioned this before, Dan disappeared halfway through the interview because he and Skype are having an ongoing feud. He's set like doing like a, what they call them, class action suit against them right now. Okay, yeah. So just a quick thanks to Disaster Piece for the intro and outro music, Acast for hosting the podcast, the listeners for listening, and patrons over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to Dan, my co-host, for being here for the first half, because without you, I'd be alone. I am now alone. But and thanks again to FC Schultz, who I've come to consider one of my close online friends that you sort of have in this weird new world where you, I feel like you, there's a connection but never actually seen each other face to face.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, thanks so much, and yeah, keep us in the loop with everything you're doing, and I really appreciate all of your hard work and everything you're doing out there.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Story Studio podcast. Still hungering for some podcast goodness? Then why not check out our other show, The Other Stories? Oh, and did you know, every time you leave us a review in the iTunes store, a puppy is born. Cute, eh? Anyway, toodle pip.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.